do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest-guided mapping expedition to the borders of human creativity.
I'm your co-host John, and this is all my fault.
I'm your co-host Besha, and this is totally not my fault. How's it going, John?
It goes well, except for the fact that I seem to have picked up a bit of a cough, which I'm going to hope to control.
Oh my god, it's the consumption.
Yeah, I...
Sorry.
That's, you know, I mean, it was the product of all of my loose living. If only I had listened to my dear mother.
Truly.
I no, this one is actually sort of unusual, and I think that I have contracted it from Quentin, which is funny because he doesn't have a cough, but he had a cold. He somehow got a cold, and I don't know how that happened, because
he pretty much stays in the house.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Maybe it spontaneously generated. That's the only explanation I can think of.
I'm pretty sure that we figured out that was not true like 100 years ago or so.
I mean, I have new evidence.
Good point. We need to take it into account.
That's all I'm saying. How are you doing, Besha?
I'm all right. There's this meme going around the internet where they're like, forget your star sign. The thing that's going to define your life is the tagline of the movie that was number one the day you were born.
Oh,
have you seen that?
I have, and you know what's funny is that the I could not find data for the weekend of December 3rd, 1979, but the weekend after that was the weekend Star Trek the Motion Picture came out, and it was number one.
Oh, see, I have a similar concern, sort of. which is that Flashdance was number one the week after I was born, and the tagline is "What a feeling," but also apparently "Take your passion and make it happen." And that is great, and I would like to issue a hearty fuck you to the people who went to see Lone Wolf McQuade, starring Chuck Norris and David Carradine, the week I was born, because my tagline is "Fighting, loving, killing." There's no one like McQuade. What the fuck am I supposed to do with that? How was this a number one movie? I mean, I know how it's a number one movie. We're terrible people.
But your path forward is clear. You need to change your name to McQuade.
God, that's like the only possible option.
Yeah.
And also start fighting and killing, which I'm not really that good at.
Well, I mean, no time like the present. You're going to have to train.
Jesus. I have to wear a stupid bandana.
Well, you know, I'm sure that you could make it work. I believe that the tagline to Star Trek The Motion Picture was, "The human adventure is just beginning." So, you know, however you want to. It's no fighting,
that's
killing.
Great.
I mean, you know, it's not bad. We should perhaps find out if our guest has participated in this meme yet. Let's welcome back Sarah McHenry.
Hi, guys. Welcome back, Sarah McHenry. Thank you.
Did you happen to find out what the number one movie the weekend you were born was?
I looked it up just now while you were talking, and it is the Rambo film First Blood. And the tagline on the poster is, "This time he's fighting for his life." But I looked on IMDb, which shows 5 taglines, and one of them is, "He just wanted something to eat," which I think, that doesn't sum me up. This I can live with that.
That's perfect.
I feel really good about it.
That is, that's perfect and amazing, and I love it.
I would like to share that my significant other just came in the room and showed me a note on his phone that said, "It's Carradine, not Carradine." I'm sorry, I was raised by wolves.
Well, you know, I mean, we were going to get floods of angry emails, so I'm...
I know. It was clearly intended in, like, a helpful way, not in a, like, you suck way. And I appreciate that, because I don't want to disappoint our listeners.
But it's way too late. Sure.
Actually, let's reintroduce Sarah, too, because why not? Sarah, if you had to, you know, script. If somebody were like, hey, what's your story?
What's my story? Well, I just wanted something to eat. I have pretty much summed it up. I am a writer and cartoonist. That's pretty much all you need to know.
Hell yeah, and a damn good one.
Thank you.
You are most welcome. I suppose we should perhaps explain what the deal is with this podcast.
Yeah, let's do it.
What's going on is that for the last 10 years, every time I've had an idea, I've written it down the moment I had it. And now I've piled up literally hundreds of ideas in a big spreadsheet without doing anything with them. So maybe it's time someone else did. I'm throwing the spreadsheet open and letting friends like Sarah dig through the pile and hold up whatever she finds interesting for the entertainment of me and Besha and, of course, you, the listener. If you hear one you like, it's yours to run with. I just want credit.
And I want to cut. Sorry. I just got a text from my significant other saying, no, you suck. That was my intention. I have everything and you have nothing. What the fuck? So, Sarah,
what do we have for the witnesses, Johnny?
Yes. What's the first thing you found in the pile today?
So I would like to talk about Corgi Tracker app.
This is a favorite of mine.
Okay, good.
Yes. So I should specify that this is an idea that I think that we have discussed with other guests, but I made a rule
it's
a little
so
while
good.
Ago that, like, I would stop discouraging people from finding repeats because I think that there's useful data in there. Like, I think that if enough people ping on the same idea, I think that means something.
Yeah.
Right? So this app, I think, has two different sort of user stories, if you will. Mm-hmm. One would be like a person who owns a corgi, right? They sign up for the app and, you know, they input that, hey, I have a corgi. And what happens is every time they go to take their dog for a walk and they feel like they want to introduce that dog to strangers, or they don't mind if their dog meets strangers, they hit a button on the app that says, hey, I'm out walking with Pickles. And then on the other end, there are people who've gotten the app who subscribe somehow. They find and subscribe somehow, and they say, the app, like, you know, since it's a phone app, it tracks everybody's location, right? So if Pickles comes within, like, I don't know, let's say a 10-block radius of you, your phone will alert you, hey, Pickles coming, and you...
alert, Pickles.
Yes. And you can go give Pickles some pets. That was basically what it was. I would like to be alerted, if at all possible, of corgis within a certain radius of me so that I can pet them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's very good. Mm-hmm.
One other thing I should also point out is that it's extensible to all of, you know, to other dogs, right?
Like, of course,
maybe there's
right.
a drop down, right?
Yeah.
And then so you get to subscribe to the dogs that you like. And So and there might actually be useful data in that, sort of like from a 30,000 foot level, as it were, where, like, you know, if this app gets nationwide traction, there might emerge interesting patterns, right? Where, like, they could look at their data and be like, you know, people in San Francisco really dig these three breeds of dog, but for some reason Portland or Chicago or exactly. And like, I wonder if there are differences in, like, city profiles of dog interest, as it were. Like, is Chicago a pit bull town? Mm-hmm. Is San Francisco a Chihuahua city? Like, these are things that I would be interested in knowing.
Well, I recently learned on a trip to Seattle that the, like, official Amazon dog is a corgi. And so a lot of Amazon employees who are, like, Kool-Aid drinkers, so to speak, get a corgi to, like, have the Amazon dog. Which is incredible to me.
I feel like you could ultimately do something useful with this data. You know, I may have talked about this on the podcast before, actually, that, like, I think it was Virgin did a promo charity thing where they were flying Chihuahuas from the SPCA in San Francisco, where there are many, many Chihuahuas, to New York, where there's high demand for them. So potentially with the data from this app, you could do a little like shelter dog redistribution to maximize their chances of getting a place to live. A forever home, if you will.
Yes. Yes. I mean that flight was a while ago, right?
Oh yeah. It was a few years ago. And I still think about it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, like, was that it? Was that all the choice? Like, do you think that they would have set up some kind of permanent... When I say they, I don't merely mean Virgin, but somebody, right? Should have set up a permanent Chihuahua pipeline from here to New York.
Because I'm sure that one plane's worth...
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. Oh, God. Do you... Sarah, have you read this? It's a piece of, like, speculative nonfiction by a guy who basically, like, it was like a historical retrospective on a tunnel that had been built from San Francisco to New York in a straight line through the Earth's crust, specifically for delivering burritos. Like, they magnetically accelerated. It was amazing. But the burritos were, he had sort of like worked this all out, like the depth at which such a hole would need to be drilled, and that the burritos in the process of being fired from San Francisco to New York, passing at the depth that they do through the Earth's like crust / mantle, that they would be heated to the point where like you would actually only need to pack raw ingredients into the San Francisco end.
Oh God, I forgot that part.
And that, yeah, and that the burritos coming out the other side would be, like, glowing hot, and they would sort of just, yeah.
Yeah, we might not want to do that for the Chihuahuas. Okay, so we have a regular Chihuahua run that is a plane flight that is, like, every Saturday at 11:04 a.m., it's the Chihuahua flight.
Mm-hmm.
I could get behind that.
I dig it. And to be honest with you, this is what's... What I'm now realizing is that I have no real idea of whether or not, for instance, San Francisco is a corgi town, right? Like, mm-hmm. I have
a
suspicion.
Wasn't it Corgi Con in San Francisco?
It is, but I don't know if that means that that's where all the corgis are. Although I did go to one once, and it was amazing.
Well, I did. So I'm not. I don't have a dog, but I love dogs. I love to see them. I'm very interested. I get very excited when one of my neighbors gets a puppy, and then I try to figure out how quickly I can make friends with it without being too creepy, you know? I like to remember their names if I can, you know what I mean? But my husband, who is very good at making up just on the spot without any pre-thought, a name just comes out of his mouth and it's always perfect. And one time we were out for a walk and we saw a corgi and he said, "Oh, hey, it's Beansy." And now every corgi we see is named Beansy. Like, wherever you are in the world, if you see him on TV, if you see a corgi, that's Beansy. So I think that maybe Beansy could be the name for the app.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like it. That's perfect.
I'm also picturing, like, maybe, because you said you could, like, check off certain breeds, and maybe there's, like, a size slider. Like, I want Bernese Mountain Dogs, St. Bernards, and nothing smaller, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Oh, that's... Yes. Not just dog size, but also level of like, furriness. Because, yeah. I understand, obviously, that, like, pit bulls are actually gentle and great. I have no beef with them on that level. I just think that the shortness of their fur makes them look weird and naked to me, and I don't enjoy it.
Well, they're not as fun to pet. Like,
right.
I want a dog that I can cross the Alps with, right? Like, that's what I want.
Same.
Whereas I prefer dogs who don't make me feel allergic just looking at them, and I'm not even allergic.
See, this is great. Even just with three of us, we have, like, you know, we make a solid case this is awesome.
I feel like we're actually getting into the premium features of this app at this point. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Ooh, I like it. I like it. Yeah. Yeah, it's free, but, you know, like, ooh,
it's premium.
Yeah, exactly. You pay to upgrade to, like, you can subscribe to more than one or two dogs, or, like, the sliders become active. that's perfect. That's perfect. Well, What is next in the pile?
The next one I would like to talk about is a weekly newsletter called What's Good in Scottish Twitter.
In Scottish Twitter.
Okay. I want this very badly.
I think this would be a very good newsletter, but also possibly a podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
You could? I suppose that's true.
You could get, like, a good Scottish a voice actor, or not even a voice, but, you know, somebody with a good voice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because that is one of the things, right? Like, we have all seen on Tumblr these image sets of, like, amazing Scottish tweets.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I keep seeing the same, maybe, like, dozen or so. Mm-hmm. And I, like there's gotta be really excellent ones every week, right? I mean, this... Mm-hmm. And we're missing out on them. And I would like to see them.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, I mean, this should exist. But you're right. So having... Oh, I didn't even think about a podcast. Huh. Well, because one of the things about Scottish Twitter is that the way they write their tweets, like the way that they render their accent in text, so to speak, is so perfect that you almost... You hear it in your head, and it's so
sure.
good.
Okay, so I wanted to find that one, and I started Googling "you ever just want," and it auto-completed "wrap yourself in tinfoil."
I know exactly which one you mean. It's so good.
"Ye ever wanty just wrap yourself up in tinfoil nice and cozy, and then just fucking get right into the microwave and blow yourself up to fuck."
It's so good.
Retweeting it again right now. Oh, it's perfect.
I just, yeah, this is the function that, wasn't there, didn't there used to be a website or an app called something like Favestar?
Yes. Congratulations yes. on your 200 favorite tweet, that one.
Right. Did it go away? It got shut down, something? Fuck everybody over?
I believe they went away because Twitter closed down all their APIs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that was what my memory was telling me, too. This would have been perfect if you could, you know, if you could sort of, like, geo-lock that, like, yeah. Well, again, like, you know, I was not super concerned about the implementation of it. I would just like to see it happen somehow.
Mm-hmm.
What is next?
Let's see, what is next? Let's see, I have lounge swing.
I almost hate to ask this.
A swing to lounge in?
Is there anything in the notes field for
no,
this
No, of course not, no. I mean, I'm picturing it like a more structured hammock, right?
Yeah, or maybe like an easy chair, like a lazy boy. That is somehow anchored to the ceiling and swings freely.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Or like a the part of the couch that extends, right? Like a long, or like a beach chair almost, that hangs, right?
Yes, exactly. Something long that you can kind of stretch out on, but that also is a swing. I don't feel like I've seen anything like that.
I can't say that I have either.
I wonder if there's a reason that we're all missing... or if you know, society, we just as a people, we just haven't advanced that far yet.
I mean, I love a good porch swing.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
So this sounds kind of like a porch swing, but with a wider seat part.
Yeah, a longer seat part. Because I have seen those kind of like porch swings that are like a bench, you know, that
right.
like two people could sit on next to each other. But that's long in the wrong dimension.
Right. You mean so you could stretch your legs out.
Yeah.
In front of you, yeah.
Is it just that it would be a pain in the ass to get into? Maybe, I don't know. Is it? Is having never seen one, I'm kind of, like, I don't know if... Huh.
Hmm.
Well, somebody should build one, and I would like to get a look at it and sit in it.
Yeah, we need, like, a carpenter to figure this out, right?
Agreed. Agreed.
Or, like, or one of those... furniture designers from IKEA that, like, you know, they always have the little profile of in the catalog.
Yeah,
we need one of those.
I like it. Sweden, please get on it for us.
Yeah, Sweden, solve our problems.
Thank you.
Okay, I have also, and this is something that I'm not too sure I understand what it is, which is great, body hair growth study. inducing or inhibiting growth on other areas.
Okay. Crap. Okay. I must have. Is this under what category is this under?
Question.
Okay, because I think that this must have been a question that I had. Like, has anybody ever initiated a study on body hair growth and why it grows? And obviously, evolutionarily, right? Like, we know, quote unquote, why it grows in some areas and not others. But for instance, why doesn't hair grow on our palms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is there a way to transfer that quality to other areas of the body?
Mm-hmm.
But also, there are other questions, right? Like, why does arm hair, for instance, only grow to a certain length and then stop?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that could be useful? I don't know why I was compelled to write that down, but I feel like I was almost been in a place where, like, why isn't this knowledge more widely spread?
Well, so I find everything about body hair fascinating, from like the sociology of like which of it we remove and versus don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that some men that have like a medium on the chest hairiness level, you know, have patches kind of over the kidneys on their backs.
Ooh.
Have you ever seen
mm-hmm.
this?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, like, that's got to be for warmth, one would think.
Maybe? Yeah. I don't know. That is so... As a person who... that's another thing, right? I actually don't have a lot of hair. As an Asian person, for instance, I have, like, 3 chest hairs. and, like, as far as I know, none on my back.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah... that's the first I've ever heard of the kidney patches. That is interesting. Cause
it's a thing. Can't verify. Like,
that's madness. Like, how... Like, was this something that was deliberately... You know, like, I say deliberately, but, like, was this selected for somewhere in our distant past? Or was it a trait that just kind of, like, hitched a ride with other traits? And, you know, like, it wasn't... I have mm-hmm. a lot of body hair questions, as it turns out.
Yeah. Yeah, and how did, like, evolution select the correct length, the terminal length for different hairs, you know?
Yeah. My leg hair, like, why, like, yeah, why does some hair only grow to a certain length and then stop? And, like, how? Like, how does it know to do that? I'm sure that these questions are... well, I don't know if these questions were answered.
I've always
or not,
wondered this about eyebrows.
Oh.
In particular. And eyelashes. Like, why don't they just keep growing?
Do mm-hmm. Here's a dumb question. Do eyebrows grow back? They do, right?
You but mean, like, after tweezing?
Maybe. Or, like, if I accidentally shaved, you know, one off, like, it would... grow back, right? But then...
Mm-hmm. Yes. Though,
as someone who spends 17 hours a week on eyebrow, let's say, abatement.
they do grow back, but there are definitely people who over-tweeze their brows when thin brows were a thing and are kind of stuck that way now. And oh. I assume that there's some degree of damage to the hair follicle.
Oh.
From repeated tweezing.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But then again, like, people wax their legs and keep having to do it.
Right. See? There are many questions
there are
in the field
of
body
hair.
Hair.
Mm-hmm. And I also want to know why, like, I understand the, you know, why we get hair at puberty is, like, the entrance to adulthood. But then, like, body hair continues to change throughout mm-hmm. middle age and old age, even.
Right.
Like, you know, you see older people, they start getting hair in their ears.
And noses and, yeah.
Noses, or, like, my chin. I'm starting to get chin hairs starting. But, you know, like, it's been in the past 10 years. I didn't have these as a teen or in my 20s. And, like, why do they think that now I need chin hairs, right? Like, what good are they doing me now that they weren't 10 years ago?
I wonder if this is a field of study of which we are all ignorant. And in that case, I have to wonder why. Like,
yeah.
There's got to be hair specialists. If you're out there, find us. Because we have questions.
You know, we were covered in hair in the womb, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, Quentin definitely has... He had shoulder hair.
But we were like... You're like furry. There's a certain stage of fetal development where you're like a little seal in there. Mm-hmm. Which is fascinating to me. I was at the zoo today, and I saw some zebras. And the little sign outside the zebra enclosure explains that we don't know why they have stripes. We have a lot of theories, but we don't know. Which is just like, that is outlandish to me, that this late in history we could just be like, oh, we got some ideas, but who knows.
I think it just shows the breadth of experience that is available, and I love it.
What do you mean?
Well, just that, like, there can still be this many questions, you know, is...
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I love that.
I find it actually very refreshing, yeah. Animated GIF zoetrope is in crafts.
Yes.
Not a lot to say here, I just think it's a very good idea.
Right? Yeah, same. I wish that it were a thing, and I would love to see one. Several, really. I feel like this is a booth that should just be at the Renegade Craft Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even just, like, at... like San Diego Comic Con, right? It should be like, what were this year's hot memes? And you can, you know, right?
That's, yes, exactly. That's the great thing, is that, like, the content is evergreen. There's always going to be more of it. And new, yeah. Perfect. You were right. There isn't a lot to say about it, but that it should exist.
Yeah. Human enemy capacity hard-coded. And then in notes... Similar to short-term memory and theoretical friends, is there a hard limit to the number of enemies one human can keep track of?
that pretty much covers it. Is it, like, what do you guys think?
I've got spreadsheets. That's what they're for.
Because, I mean, right? Like, there's that thing about, like, how in theory, like, you can really only have about, what is it, 100 friends?
125 people that you could really conceptualize, I think, is the monkey sphere.
Ah, very good. But, like, okay, is that all positive conceptualization? Does negative conceptualization take up its own, you know, separate sphere? And if so, what is the size of that sphere? I wonder if any research has been done into enmity.
Yeah, I wonder... to what extent they overlap, right? Can somebody with a lot of friends keep track of as many enemies as someone with no friends? You know, do they take up the same spots?
Yeah. Not even the same mental spots, but also the same physical spots. Like, does the same spot in the cortex keep track of those things?
Yeah.
So... my understanding is that the monkey sphere is just like sheer number of people that you can conceptualize as being individuals. And I have always assumed that you start to stack them. And that, like, slot number 113 is reserved for friendly neighbor who I don't have any beef with. And slot number 114 is neighbor that I did something to piss off, and so I avoid them in the hallways. And, like, that's multiple people, but my brain has just shunted them into the same archetype. That's my theory.
That's a good one.
So then I think that with enemies, you get, like, okay, here are most Republicans, and then here is the girl who used to beat me up in sixth grade, and then, so a few people who used to beat me up in sixth grade. let's be honest, there are a few who stack there. And then it's like, that one bitch who did this thing. So, like, you know, depends on how unique they are.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I would love for somebody to start this research, because I'm very curious.
Yeah, it is very interesting. Because there's a certain type of person that holds grudges forever, right?
Yes.
And I think that's also part of it, right? Like, you know, you've all known someone where if you bring up something that happened 30 years ago, they're like, oh, fuck that guy. They're still mad, right? But then, like, does that scale with number of life experiences you've had since then or something, right?
That's a good question. Yeah. No, I don't know. There are so many different variables to keep track of. Like Besha said, like, you know, to me, I feel like I would consider most Republicans. But, like, I mean, especially, you know, like, yeah. But I've never met them in person, right? So, like, is that, do they count?
I feel like they're just stacked into that one spot.
In the absence of any data, I mean, they might as well be. Again, you know, this is a question I want someone out there to answer.
I feel like this is probably something that someone is working on.
I would love nothing better than to read their paper or book.
My last thing that I have is personal internet bouncer.
Ooh, okay. I think that this one is a person who sits between you and social media and just sort of like just bats away all of the replies to you that you don't want and then lets through only the ones that you would like to see. It's like a more intelligent version of, I don't know, like whatever filtering or blocking technologies currently exist on Twitter.
Yeah, the quality filter, but it's an actual human.
Yes.
I mean, I had a tweet blow up that got me a lot of really unpleasant attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely would have paid someone to sift through my replies and figure out which ones were funny, which ones wanted to give me nice things, and which ones were credible threats to my health or livelihood.
Exactly.
And I thought about it. Like, then I was like, hell yeah, I want this. I need this in my life. But, like, I could do with that all the time. Yeah. And I'm sure that that's what Facebook thinks they're doing with algorithms for your wall or whatever they call it now. But yeah, you need the personal touch.
Yeah, I think this. And I mean, like, right, Sarah, I feel like I've seen you on Twitter talk about this, where, like, anytime you make a joke, some dumbass tries to explain your joke to you.
Yep.
Like, why? Why? Like, I think I want this technology to go one step further, where not only do they filter that reply, but then they also somehow kick that person off the internet. Well, with a note that says, like, here's why. This is what you did. Think about that.
There is a certain kind of tweet that I think of as mute bait, which is where I will, you know, maybe it has a rhetorical question, or it has a certain kind of pun, or it has something that... then anybody who replies to it gets muted, unless they're like a personal friend. And it's like, it's good.
It's very good. I've not heard that term before. Mute bait. That's perfect.
Or even just like expressing an opinion about movies, you know? Like,
yeah.
There'll be guys who, if you say about a certain kind of movie, they'll be like, oh, you gotta see, and they'll name another movie. And it's like, why do you assume that I haven't seen it? Why? Why do you assume you have to be the one to tell me about this?
Yep.
No. Yeah. No. That's perfect. God.
But I do. I feel like there are some celebrities who have their spouse do that for them.
Hmm.
Yeah. Or I mean, at that point, personal assistant. Why not?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, like, way back when, before she went pretty off the deep end, Jen Kirkman was like, she wrote her tweets, but her husband read the replies for her.
That's,
like, a lot. But,
that's love.
That's, yeah, I mean, that's devotion, but...
God, that reminds me of the... There was a story about the people who are doing content moderation on YouTube who ended up with trauma... who ended up, like, burning out rapidly and showing all signs of trauma.
Yeah.
would believe.
Yeah, that is the problem that we would encounter with this.
It would need to be a pool of people that were rotated in, you know, like once a week maybe. And, you know, and like the following day they have a spa day. So really, like, you know, the overhead would be high. But, you know, I mean, these are the kinds of jobs we're going to have to start.
It'd be worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you get a little badge, like the ones that track how much radiation you've been exposed to. And then when it fills up, you get benched for a while.
I love it. Oh, God. Oh, shit.
Only instead of a badge, you show people pictures of kittens and see if they react. And then you show them pictures of bad things and see how they react. I don't know.
I pictured an emoji that starts out as a smiley and then sort of gradually, like, you know, the color shifts and the expression changes until it becomes like, you know, like the barfing face. And then when your badge becomes the barfing face, that's how you know it's time to stop.
Yeah, it's like that pain scale they have at the doctor's office, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hurts a lot.
All right, well, I think it is now time for one of us to give a terrible recommendation or showcase an idea from our guest. Does anybody have either of those things?
I had an idea today that I would like to kind of talk out.
Well, of course,
this
please.
This is fresh off the dome, right?
I love it. Mm-hmm.
So, as I mentioned, I was at the zoo today. Mm-hmm. And they're, and it's, you know, off season, and the little cafe thing is one of those ones where it's kind of like a food court, you know, you can get like terrible Mexican food or it's not terrible, but you know, like
mediocre,
not great food. Yeah. Mediocre food. And then there's a Pepsi fountain, and then they have like bottled beverages, and the fountain drinks come in those plastic cups that are like, I believe, compostable. Do you know the ones I mean? They're clear plastic and they have green printing.
Totally. Yeah, yeah.
And there's like a paper straw.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the garbage cans, there's trash cans. And then there's a garbage can that just says aluminum and plastic. But as, you know, savvy consumers of EcoGuilt, we know there's many kinds of plastic. And it doesn't say. And I walked up to someone who was working and, like, wiping down trays, and I said, does this go in the recycling? And I was standing by the garbage can, and she said, it's fine. And I said, it's fine in the garbage? And she said, yeah, go ahead. And I don't believe that English was her primary language. And no shade to her. But what it got me thinking about is, a place like this has, like, four kinds of receptacles that they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why not make a sign that just has diagrams of what goes where? So, like, this is the shape of a Gatorade bottle. Mm. This is the shape of the cup and lid that you got your fountain drink in. This is the shape of, you know, something else. And then put those by the like, why? This recycling bin is going to be here where the same kinds of containers are coming through all day long, mm-hmm. 365 days a year.
That's true.
So why is the messaging completely unclear when it could be... There's no reason for it to be like that. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely do. Yeah, because it's a controlled environment. Like, you know what the trash inputs are because you know what the food service inputs are. So,
exactly, yes.
Like, yeah, no, why not? Why not do... You're absolutely right. Yeah, it's nothing at all. Like for instance, a shopping mall, right? Where like, you know,
right.
like a shopping mall food court where like 10 different restaurants have 10 different cups. But like, no, it's honestly one of the most controlled environments possible. Like,
mm-hmm.
they absolutely should do that.
And it had never like occurred to me before. But I think any like fast casual, like a Chipotle or whatever. Right. Yeah. I mean, I haven't been inside a Chipotle in years, but, you know, something like that. Like, and also, not to mention, the cups that they have are printed. It says, like, Lincoln Park Zoo. So why not say, please recycle?
Oh,
why not
God.
Just put it on there?
Also, yes, coming from the other end. Oh, holy fuck.
I really think, and this has been ever since I worked in offices, like, the messaging around recycling, while not complicated, there's people who don't bother to learn it. I had a boss who would stand directly over the recycling bin and blow his nose into a paper towel and then drop it in, like, while making eye contact with me. And I feel like it could be easier. And I think, I feel like pictograms, you know, which, because the Linkin Park Zoo obviously gets, like, international visitors and, you know, so that's why I was thinking about that. But I think most places, you can pretty much do it almost wordlessly.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It's dumb that they don't. You're absolutely right.
Can we think of any reason why they don't?
The only thing that I can think of is that if they shift their supply chain fairly frequently, then it would render such signage useless pretty quickly. But I'd have no visibility into what their food service supply chain is like. So, you know, I mean, but that's literally the only reason I can think of not to do it. Otherwise, like, fucking, why not?
I will say, not as a reason not to, but just as a we're all fucking doomed. the clinic I used to work in had had bins, you know, in front of the front desk, and we had a water cooler, and we always had the same brand of cups. And the bin that you were supposed to put your cup in, and I think honestly that it was, no, I think we did compost. The office manager literally cut one of those cups in half and glued it to the top of the bin with a sign that said cups here. So it is the same brand of cup. And it was like the, it is a classic waiting room cup. Like it never changed. Every day people threw them in the recycling bin next to the thing that said, put your cup here, with the actual, not a picture of the cup, but the actual fucking cup on it. They looked at it and were like, or I could not.
How are people so bad at this?
I don't understand. Well, and I will say, like, one thing that was interesting about that was the compost bin was like a little step lever kind of thing, and so was the regular trash. But the recycling bin was open, and I think that was part of it, is people were like, it is too hard to step on this lever and open this bin. Instead, I will throw it into the open thing. Because I'm an idiot. And I wear Velcro shoes because I can't tie them.
I also think there's a way in which people get an information overload when they are presented with too many options and too many signs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in that case you just have to reduce the number of options.
Exactly, yeah.
It's alarm fatigue, you call that in healthcare.
Oh, interesting.
Because if everything is a pop-up that says, hey, there might be a drug interaction, you're like, there's never a drug interaction. Sometimes there is, and then you miss it.
Right. Oh, that's very interesting. That's like that thing that was in your tiny letter, John, about turning off push notifications.
Yep. I just did that tonight because of that.
Oh, man, I have almost all of mine turned off, and it's great. I don't understand people whose phones light up and buzz all the time. It's the worst.
Yeah, mine is texts only.
Yeah, yep. Mine is texts or Slack DMs only, I think.
I thought that I was pretty low on notifications, but once I started really looking at it, I was like, whoa. You know what? I don't actually need to know my emails the second they come in because I'm at work. I got other things to do.
Absolutely, yeah.
Speaking of that tiny letter, actually, perhaps we should tell everybody where we can be found on the internet. My whole deal actually has been streamlined thanks to my friend Jen, who is Jennifer Marie on Twitter and is amazing. You can hear episodes she's appeared on in the archive. Just go to flavor.country for links to all my social presences and stuff I make, including my Twitter, Instagram, and the tiny letter, which obviously these two excellent people subscribe to, and you should as well.
Okay, you can find me. I'm on Twitter at Yellow Cardigan, and my website for the Patreon I run with my husband is Your McHenry's. That's YourMcHenry.es.
You can find me on Twitter as Besha, BESHA. This podcast, by the way, is available wherever fine podcasts are acquired. And if you haven't, go ahead and subscribe to it by searching for Idea Factory Giveaway in your podcast app of choice. And let John know if you don't see it there. If you're already there, why not go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating and or a nice review? It would help us out a lot. If you've already done that, why not tell a friend?
Why not tell several friends?
and inflict it on your enemies.
Yes. And remember, if you've heard an idea you like, go ahead and do it. I just want credit.
And I want a cut.